am down and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. No life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Raise me up to more than I can be.
Good morning from Hohenwald First United Methodist Church. It is Easter Sunday. I'm standing at the open doors of the church, looking out onto a gray and cloudy and drizzly rain, but we are here with the doors flung open. The doors are flung wide open as the tomb on that Easter morning when the angel said, and I say in his stead, he is not here, but he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened up the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate this day of the Lord's resurrection may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from death to sin and to life of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are here with the doors open on this Easter morning so that we might dispense communion to any who drive by. It's a drive-through service. We've got little sealed cups. There's a little plastic skin that you peel away to get to the wafer, and then the foil skin that you peel away to get to the cup. And as you take that, I invite you to pray this prayer. Lord, as we take the bread and cup of communion, you have asked us to remember your body broken and your blood poured out. We recall now that after your death, the remains of your earthly form were sealed away. But on the morning of Easter, the tomb was unsealed and your body was unwrapped, for your life had returned. As we peel away the plastic film and the foil seal that keeps these elements safe, may they enter into our lives. Cover us, Lord, with your love and your life. Accept the life and love, that we might accept the life and love and the spirit of yours into our own bodies, that you may continue to live in us and through us and we in you. Amen. Well, I'm reading to you today from the Gospel of John, but I'm sort of paraphrasing it because when I read this, it seemed to me like whoever wrote the Gospel of John must have interviewed Peter and John and Mary and got their words from it. And so I'm going to give you the unedited interview notes before it was all written down. It works out something like this from John chapter 20. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, I, Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb and I saw that the stone had been removed. And so I went running to Peter and to that other disciple. What's his name? John? Yeah, John. And the one Jesus loved. Yeah, him. And I said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. And there's where the Peter and John break in. They say, we heard that and we started running from the tomb. And both of us were running, but you know, I'm younger than Peter, so I got to the tomb first. And when I bent over and I looked in, I saw the strips of linen lying there. And Peter breaks in, yeah, but you didn't go in when I got up there, just a half a step behind you. I ran right on into the tomb and I saw those linen wrappings and also the cloth that had been wrapped around his head, because I was inside and you were still outside. And the cloth was lying there in its place, separate from the linen. And then John breaks in, but then I came on in, and when I came on in, I saw that and the other thing, and I believed. Well, what is it you believe, John? Well, I believed he was gone. That's all I could believe. And Peter and John both hang their heads and say, yes, that's all we had to believe. We believed Mary was right, that he was gone, but we didn't know where. So we went on back home to where we had been staying. Now Mary breaks in again. She says, yes, but I continued to stand outside the tomb. And I admitted I was crying. I was worn out. And as I wept, I went over and looked into the tomb again. I don't know what I was looking for. I'd already been in. I'd already looked around. Peter and John had looked around. Nobody had seen anything. But for some reason, I looked again. You know, like when you go through your pockets a third time for the same thing, you couldn't find the other two. I looked again, and I saw two angels. Two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they said, woman, they didn't know my name was Mary, they said, woman, why are you crying? And I said, they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where. And then I turned around and I saw Jesus standing there. But I didn't even recognize it was Jesus. I figured, he's in the garden, it's morning, he must be the gardener. So when he asked, woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? I said, well, if you've taken away the body, and tell me where it is, and I will go and get it. And then he said to me in a voice very familiar, Mary. And I recognized him. And I said, Rabboni, that means teacher. And he said, don't hold on to me now, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. And then I went to them with good news. I have seen the Lord, and I told them all these things. Yes, we told them. Hey, here are some of our parishioners come to get communion. Everything you need is in the bag. There's a little plastic film you have to peel off, and then the foil, and then there's a little prayer here that you can read, and then here's an Easter message for you, a little take-home sermon. There's enough for two there. Do you have anybody want to take two?
He's going to take one to his daddy.
All right. You got anybody else you can take one to? All right. Well, happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter. Thanks for doing
this. All right. All
right. The prayer garden was great.
Thank you. So here we are. In the safety of the long view, it's easy to see that Mary and Peter and John were all confused. And it's easy to judge them, but you know, when the moment came, they were as confused as we are these days. Now, it's easy to see that the men's experience wasn't the same as Mary's experience, and I think that's more than just being men and women. I think as the Scripture promises, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, and run and not grow weary, but you have to wait on the Lord, and here's the difference. Peter and John didn't wait. They looked around, and in their confusion, they just went back home. But Mary waited, and for her waiting, she got to see the Lord face to face. Some of us are already weary. We love that scripture about running and not growing weary, but we're already weary. We're already weary from just the physical drain of this quarantine and restrictions. We're weary mentally from processing what is our new normal. We're worried over money and over our loved ones and over the state of the world. And we're weary physically and mentally, but also spiritually. We're numbed by this church closure. We've never been this long without being to church. The loss of ministry and the curtailing of people we can reach out to hurts us down deep in our spirits. But you know, all of these are steps of grief. Anybody who studies grief says you go through this. You go through this numbness, through this listlessness, through this questioning, sometimes into anger. Mary and Peter and John were numb. They were dulled by the loss of Jesus. Sometimes waiting is all that you can do. And if you'll do it, you may find that it is enough, even if it feels otherwise. I was going to go to a different place when I was planning this sermon about a month ago. The sermon title was to be Good End Credits. Now, if you go to the movies and you stay all the way to the end and you sit through the credits after the words "the end" go across the screen, you sometimes see some silly little things that the producers put in. The credits to people that don't even exist. And sometimes you see a little extra scene in the movie that they kind of snuck in. But it's only for those who are willing to stay to the very end. I was going to say that Mary, like a good moviegoer, stayed to the very end. And so she saw the, what do they call those things? Yeah, they call them Easter eggs. Little things hidden for you to find. And the first Easter egg was Jesus himself. He wanted to be found. And those who waited got to see him. And as I said, there's a safety in the long view. It's easy for us to look back now and say, well, I don't know why they didn't recognize Jesus. But would you recognize him? You might be seeing him every day already. You have to look into the face of every neighbor you come in contact with. Jesus might be there. In fact, he probably is. In these days, we don't understand all that's going on. We wait and we wait and we wait, and then we're told we have to wait a bit longer, that this is going to last a long, long time. And that, oh, it's going to peak in next week, and then next week, and then next week. Someday, after our despair and our stress and our pain, someday we will look back and be able to see through the long view that our helplessness and confusion was being attended to by Christ Jesus, even in the midst of it. What will we see clearly then, if not now? That Jesus had troubles too, and that as he had told us, he will be present with us through our troubles, because he's a man who understands trouble. Whether we recognize it or not, he is already risen. He is already going ahead of us. Part of the gospel message he told Mary was, I'm going on. Catch me up in Galilee. He's already making plans for where we will meet next. This current shakeup may bring us closer to how it felt that first Easter morning, before we filled up Easter with bunnies and baskets and bonnets. Back when Easter was just a gut punch of somebody you love dead and you trying to figure out how to make sense of the world. Maybe we're in that place now where they who celebrated it first were. Jesus was and is and always will be present with us. And one way we recall that is by the taking of Holy Communion. And that's why we wanted to be open today to dispense Holy Communion to any who come by. And all of those who are hearing these words now on the radio or on the website know that I'm standing over the basket of communion elements, and these are being prayed over even now. So whenever you hear this, you can come by the church and pick one up. It's consecrated and waiting on you. If you will wait to take it, it will be enough. And so I'm going to pray the prayer now that the Book of Discipline says is the great Thanksgiving for Easter Day or the Easter season. And I invite you to participate in it if you know the responses, but I will say them for you. And know that this, even distanced, will be enough. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right, and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When you turned away and our love failed, when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant with us to be our sovereign God, and brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, you promised to be with us always in the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. And so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you again, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day in which you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in breaking the bread and sharing the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are sharing these elements wherever we are, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world his body, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Lord, as we take the bread and cup of communion, you have asked us to remember your body broken, your blood poured out. We recall now that after your death, the remains of your earthly form were sealed away. But on the morning of Easter, when the tomb was unsealed, and your body was unwrapped, your life returned. As we open these communion sets, give us the ability to accept your life and spirit into our own bodies, that you may continue to live in us and we in you. Amen. Everyone is welcome at the table of the Lord. There is no Methodist or Baptist or Church of Christ or Catholic. There is only Christians. And if you have heard this message and you want to come and receive communion, come by the church and we'll be happy to dispense it to you. We're open every morning at 9 and usually here until 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. And we invite you to come and receive a set of communion for this day. On this Easter morning, on this rainy day, on this gray day, on this day which may end up with storms, even tornadoes, we tell you that the world can do nothing to stop the message from going out. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now, hear this word of benediction. If you have heard the good news, if you have seen the good news, then you should shout the good news and sing the good news. If you have received the good news of resurrection and new life, go living the good news into this hungry and hurting world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.